Hi, everyone. It's Dave Denton. This is Turnbuckle Trash. We thank you so much for joining us today. We are going to have a great discussion about pro wrestling today. We are going to be joined by Manny Lemons. Now, Manny is the owner and the champion and the man who gets behind the plan. He's got the zest for life. Manny Lemons, we'll talk about the pandemic, his role in one of the final episodes of All Elite Wrestling before the pandemic hit, what's going on behind the scenes, and what is the plan for DCW in the future. We'll have that two-part interview coming up in just a little bit. Also joined right in the middle by James Christopher Evans. We'll have Chris on the mat. We discuss a lot of the stuff going on with the WWE, All Elite, NWA, and more. And even we'll get a little Tombstone Jesus thrown in here, too. Welcome to this edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out!
Oh my gosh, Dave, it's been a while since I've been on with you. I've been busy. Been all kinds of stuff. Been out of town, been sick, been any excuse that I can find to not talk to you, pretty much.
Thank you.
But tonight is a special edition. Tonight is something that we've been working on for quite a while now. Tonight, we are featuring one of the top, the best star in Utah. He is the man, the brand, the king of the lemonade stand, Manny Ethan Lemons. Manny, are you there?
I'm here, guys. Thank you for that kind and nice introduction.
That's awesome. Manny, thanks so much for joining us tonight here on Turnbuckle Trash. It's been several weeks since we've been able to get together. And like we said, like Zane said, we were planning on doing this a long time ago. And then, as we all know, life took hold. And I was going to, if you don't mind, Zane, I'm just going to ask the question right offhand, okay? Okay, I wanted to ask about, back in March, when everything started going haywire, Manny, you were part of one of the final nationwide wrestling events that took place in the entire nation of the United States when you were at AEW. Tell us what that experience was.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it was definitely a rewarding experience for sure. I mean, like I think I've told you guys before, you know, just through my wrestling travels, I met a lot of good people in a lot of good places. Pretty much everyone I used to talk to in Ring of Honor actually works on the AEW staff. So a lot of them knew I was from Utah, and they reached out to me. They actually reached out to me through Mercury Yaden out of Rocky Mountain Pro. We all got kind of connected. He got me connected and got us all kind of connected. And, they had it. We've had the experience. As far as the extras, you know, they picked a couple extras. They were really more looking for women just because they want to impact them. You know, they're looking to develop their women division right now. So Rekha was there with me. So we were fun, rewarding experience, that's for sure.
What was the attitude backstage? Because right after that, I understand Tony Khan from AEW called all the wrestlers together to tell them what was going on. Did you hear from any of the guys there about what was going on backstage after the show at the Maverick Center?
You know, it was kind of weird because it's like you would hear little things, peeks in between the shows. But I mean, I never heard it. I didn't actually hear the particular meeting that Tony had going on, just because, you know, we were wrapping up doing what we needed to do. But I mean, the vibe backstage, like the entire time was indescribable. It was one of the best feelings to be around because, you know, everyone there was, everybody there was genuine, you know, they were willing to talk to you, they were willing to introduce themselves, you know. Like I said, I knew a lot of the people backstage already, so it was just kind of like reconnecting with old, you know, old friends. So,
right.
I mean, it was, so I mean, to me, it was, you know, it's just like you treat it as you're there as a professional, you know.
Well, one more question for me, then I'll turn it over to Zane. So, Zane, get yourself ready here, guys.
I'm ready.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you one more time, Maddie, because the part of the part that you were the part of, you were part of the EMS team that took care of one of the Young Bucks. I think it was Matt. Was that right? And then I saw you. I saw Rekha. I thought I saw Marty Daniels. Was she there also?
Yep. Yeah, the three of us that were chosen for that particular spot. And, I mean, it's, you know, you just kind of do what they tell you to do, you know. There was an opportunity to get your face seen on TV, so I mean, I'm not gonna not take advantage of that, you know.
Right.
I definitely do not want. I don't see that being my claim to fame, but you know, just kind of one of those stepping stones towards the grand prize at the end of the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. We're gonna shift gears here and go to my favorite thing to do in the entire state of Utah, and that is Devotion Championship Wrestling. And I don't know, Manny, if you've seen, you've probably seen that movie with Will Ferrell, Tropic Thunder, you know, I think that's what it is. And he's like, you know, he's the basketball player, and they're like, owner, player, coach, Jackie Moon, you know, I don't know if that's Tropic Thunder. I can't remember. Thunder. What was it?
Semi-pro,
that's like you. You're Manny the wrestler. Semi-pro. So you're Manny the wrestler. You're Manny the promoter. you're Manny the owner. It's like you have like all these titles for Devotion Championship Wrestling. What is it like? Long-winded question here because I'm so intrigued by the backstage stuff. I've always loved professional wrestling from the backstage point of view. Not always, you know, everybody always gets like, you know, into the stuff, the wrestling in the ring and stuff. But from your view of owning a promotion, being so involved with talent, booking matches, what is it like behind the scenes trying to do all this and put this all together?
Well, let's just say I'm probably the most hated guy in all of Utah professional wrestling. But I mean, it's that old thing is if you don't have haters, you're not doing something right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's not as bad as it used to be. And it really was never really bad. It's just, you know, in the position that I hold, you know, I'm a wrestler first and foremost. I always will be a wrestler. Never had a desire to be a promoter, never had a desire to own the company. I just think at the time the opportunity was there. There was really no one else around that could have, you know what I mean, that could pull it off. So you had to wear all the caps. And it's just being up front, being professional people, you know, a lot of the things that was wrong with Utah wrestling is the stagnant feeling of wrestling once a month and everyone thinking that they're superstars, you know what I mean? A lot of the talent, you know, it's not a dig at anyone, but a lot of the talent around hasn't really done anything, you know, outside of Utah or done anything actually in the wrestling world. So to be upfront and honest with a lot of these guys, let them know, you know, your smoke's not as high as you think it is. You know, it makes me look like a bad guy. And that's, you know, that's a cap I don't really like to really carry, but, you know, it's part of the job, part of the position. And I think I've kind of started out being, you know, I was really trying to be the nice guy and pleasing everyone. I learned slowly you can't do that. You know, you just got to do what's best for business and do what's best for yourself, you know, at the end of the day. No one knows you or better than yourself. So, but, I mean, it's also helped a lot, too, because, you know, in December, you know, we acquired Vince Russo. Vince Russo now takes care of all the booking, of all the, you know, all the backstage BS. That's kind of his position that he holds with the devotion now, you know. So it's really out of my hands. A lot of that heat of, well, I'm not champion, or I should be in the main event, or this and that. It's like, it's not in my hands anymore, guys. That's what I paid Mitch Russo to do, and that's what he's good at, and that's what he's going to do for us, you know? So I was glad to kind of hand that cap over to him and let him, you know, be the bad guy in that situation. But I mean, it's kind of a testament too, because a lot of people say, well, Manny, you own the company, you can kind of do what you want, and that's why you're champion. Well, I've been champion since October. We're now in May of 2020, and Russo's been booking the entire, you know, 5-6 months of my title reign. So it obviously says something about something, you know. So
that's so cool. Tell us a little more behind the scenes of, like, wrestling at the Gateway. The venue that you have there is pretty cool. It's in a great location. What made you decide to go right downtown Salt Lake?
Yeah, so I mean, one of the big reasons with that was we used to be, our first two shows we ran out of the Art Factory. I don't know if you guys know where that's at, but it's just kind of, I got 2100 South and like 300 West, kind of right next to there's a Home Depot and a Best Buy over there, kind of in that area. That building actually had some compliance issues where, you know, the state kind of wanted to, whatever it was, you know, really didn't, you know, was really none of the business world going on. It's just we eventually had to start looking and pursuing elsewhere. You know, and the Gateway became open, you know, it was just kind of, I don't want to say a dying business, but, you know, since Cedar Creek took over, the Gateway is really looking to, you know, bring in some lively, something different to downtown Salt Lake, you know, as far as like through the arts. And, you know, when we started talking to them, they, you know, pro wrestling was a big thing that they were very interested in us bringing in. And, you know, it kind of took off from there. I mean, I think being in the heart of downtown Salt Lake City, Utah, you know, you want to be Salt Lake's promotion, you got to be at the heart of the place, you know?
That's cool. So, how does the talent behind the scenes, are they enjoying Devotion Championship Wrestling? I mean, you got a lot of cool guys there, you know, Andrew Sowell, Tom Chad. It seems like you have you know, and again, I'm not behind the scenes. I don't know this stuff. I'm always intrigued by this. That's why I ask you these questions. It seems like you have a really good, really rock solid roster. And, you know, you bring in a few names out of Rocky Mountain Pro or FSW or Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. But it's like, I think that you put together such a solid show with the talent that you have. What do you think about the Devotion Championship talent?
I think our talent's the best in the state, man. I think a lot of the guys, you know, are humble and hungry and ready for success, and that's what I like about the flow with Devotion. You know, is that you got to surround yourself with people who are on the same mission as you, and you know, we've gotten to a point after a year and a half where everyone's on page of just making this place better and making themselves better. So the roster itself has been, you know, impeccable with that, and it's been an absolute blessing. Yeah, you know, once we first started, like I said, we had some of these no-name superstars and their attitudes, they just didn't belong. Like I always just tell someone, you know, you're going to weed yourself out eventually. Real recognizes real, and, you know, we're real life and we're really doing this. So you'll know if you only the devoted survive, right?
Right. Well, Manny, I was going to ask you, I'm going to get into the controversy that I wanted to talk to you about. Several weeks ago, you kind of made nationwide news in the world of professional wrestling when James E. Cornette talked to you about a Devotion Championship Wrestling and your relationship with none other than Vince Russo. And James E. Cornette got everything wrong that you could get wrong about Devotion Championship Wrestling. And in our last podcast, we had Vince Russo on from another podcast talking about the situation. I wanted to ask you, when all this was going down, the kind of tete-a-tete between Cornette and Russo again, what were your feelings about getting this kind of publicity? But, man, it was kind of controversial, wasn't it?
Yeah, it definitely was. And you know what? I mean, hey, it's publicity, you know what I mean? People are known, regardless if they hate us or they don't, if they love us, people are knowing about the product. And that's the thing, as I tell people, it's like my whole goal is to make Devotion, you know, a nationally known product, a globally known product. And it's just like this. People are going to hate. It's going to happen, you know. And the fact that, you know, Cornette and Russo, you know, they've had their beef for so long, it's none of my business. I don't know, you know, whatever their beef is, that's between them. But at the same time, I liked when you guys, MK had a good analogy of it, of when you guys interviewed him, and he mentioned the fact that it's like your ex-wife, she's always going to hate you, no matter what you do. And without even looking at the situation, if the name gets brought up, she's going to hate it regardless. That's kind of the situation with Jim Cornette, Jim Cornette, anything that was done, Vince Russo had done, Cornette was obviously going to, he's going to shit all over regardless if it was the best thing that since sliced bread.
Right.
And that's like I said, it's publicity, and people are staring at us, and they our views and everything, it's all jumping up, and it's great. It's great exposure for the products, great exposure for the guys, and like I said, it gets them out there, it gets the product out there. And, Vince is an amazing individual, and I'm so happy and so honored that he's actually here. And he's wanting to do work with us, and he's wanting to do work with myself. I've been bugging Vince Russo to work for BCW since the very beginning, since 2018. So the fact that, it took a year to finally nudge and pull him in here, because, like I said, we'll go back to the question. Yeah, I'm a promoter, trainer, wrestler, and all that above. But if I need to pull in individuals to help make me better in all those categories, because I don't know what the heck I'm doing. I want to become better. I want to be the best individual I can be in all those categories. So what am I going to do? I'm going to reach out to individuals who are going to help make me better. And Vince has definitely done that, the last, 4 or 5 months we've had to work with him. It's just been amazing. And, it's amazing to have have the knowledge and the wisdom of Vince Russo here with BCW.
That's so cool.
Well, I'll tell you what, at your last live event, we got the opportunity to meet Vince Russo. And I've always been honest and upfront with what I've thought about Vince Russo in the past. And it hasn't always been positive, but getting to meet the man, and then I read his book, Forgiveness, I have a completely different outlook on Vince Russo, and I've got to tell you, I think he's improved your product, and if you haven't read the book yet, Forgiveness, it really is an interesting insight on how a man's outlook on life has changed over just the course of 2 years. I really enjoyed the book, and hopefully we'll have Vince Russo on our podcast soon and we can talk more about that. But Manny, I was going to ask you about the specifics of one Vince Russo. Is he doing the entire show, writing it for you, getting the talent in, or is he coming in and then working in on that?
Yeah, man. Vince Russo pretty much has the entire book. So anything that you've been watching since our television debut, it's been 100% Vince Russo. Obviously, we were able to produce obviously the pandemic, we were only able to get 8 weeks of television in.
Yeah.
So, our TV station, we're going to kind of go through our blast from the past for the next little bit until we can get back out there and start writing, writing and producing TV. But, it's been 100% Russo. And if you watch episode 1 till episode 8, you can just see it all flow together like an actual TV show. Mm-hmm. Like, Devotion is written as, you'd watch The Simpsons or watching Seinfeld, there's the story behind it, each episode and each character and each position that they're put in. It's very entertaining. And if you guys haven't had an opportunity to go watch it, just check it out on YouTube and follow it from episode 1 all the way to episode 8, which we got out there so far. And hopefully, once this pandemic slows down, Vince is going to be back. He's going to be back writing TV for us, and we're going to be back changing the game again.
Yeah, and I was at your last live show, and you can actually see me in the audience. I'm now a star. I'm no longer just a radio star. I am a TV star too. So Zane, go ahead.
Manny, you mentioned the word that all professional wrestling fans are frustrated with right now. You said pandemic. So what are your thoughts on what it's done to professional wrestling with, when we have WrestleMania with no crowd? Obviously Devotion Championship Wrestling's had to be put on pause. And now we're not talking about from a health concern and from all this stuff. We're not going to get controversial here. We're talking about professional wrestling. So from your professional wrestling point of view, what's been going on with all this stuff?
Oh man, it's probably the worst thing that could possibly happen. I mean, you have to understand, man, that from being a worker's point of view, we thrive on, those shows and the audience and the fans. Like, that's legitimately what is what gives us the opportunity to do what we do. You know, and, you know, hats off to, you know, AWWE for trying to, you know, trying to still produce weekly TV to take, you know, take the casual viewer's eyes off of what's going on in the real world. But at the same time, it's so different. The real life emotion's not there. Because you can't write real emotion. You can't fake real emotion. And without having the real emotion of, like, of a move or a promo or whatever is going on at that particular time from a real live audience, it's really hard to feel it, you know what I mean? I think Cody Rhodes' promos have been impeccable, you know? I mean, I still, the way he's done them, the way he's done them, it's been, you know, I know that, man, they're just one of the best promos that I've ever seen in my lifetime. But, I mean, it's still, like, there's still, you know, there's still wrestlers that struggle without having that. Like, for instance, for me, like, it's tough for me to wrestle a match without anyone there cheering or booing for me, because then it takes away that emotion. It takes away that part of wrestling is gone, and there's not a way to ever really incorporate or place something there, regardless if you put fake sounds in there, you know.
So I was going to ask you, Manny, how's the outlook now with the kind of the soft opening of the state of Utah, and some of the other states are starting to open up a little bit. Have you started some preliminary plans to maybe get back to the Gateway?
Oh, man. I'm literally talking to the Gateway almost every day since this whole dang pandemic happened.
Okay.
You know, it's like yesterday, you know, you see in the light at the end of the tunnel. So yesterday was the first time we've been in the dojo since March, since this whole pandemic happened. And, you know, it's just talking. Everyone's basically waiting to see who succeeds or see who's failed. You know, I'm not going to go on a rampage and rant about what's going on in the real world. I just want wrestling back, and I want it back the way it's supposed to be, you know, with a real-life audience and a real-life emotion, you know. So my goal is to, at some capacity, if BCW is going to do shows, we're going to do it with at least a little bit of an audience. And I think, knock on wood, if everything starts slowing down here in the next week or two, that could become a real life reality, you know, come at the very end of May or the beginning of June.
Wow.
Assuming everyone doesn't freak out and blow everything out of the water, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because there's people who like to do that just to do it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, Manny, let's talk about you just for a second. Do you find how do you juggle your everyday life with running a company, with the talent, with running a wrestling school? You're a busy guy. How do you find time for all this?
Well, you just gotta make time, man. There's 24 hours in the day. You know, who has time for sleep when you'd rather be successful? You know, it's not, yeah, I work a 9-to-5 just like anyone else. But I mean, that's really to fuel my dreams. I don't go to work for 8 hours to go home and go to sleep. I go to work for 8 hours and come back home and work on my brown grind. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just having the heart and desire and the passion to just move forward. There's not really, if you want to be successful, you are going to be successful. There, you can make any excuse in the world. I mean, but it's up to you. It's up to the individual to make it happen. And I'm truly passionate in what I do. And I really, I get to tell people every day, like, I'm going to be one of the biggest stars in the industry. This is just my stepping stone to get there. And I got to deal with real life to get there. And it's going to happen. But, you know, you hang around the barbershop, sooner or later, you're just going to get a haircut.
That's good.
So I have a question for you. And you don't have to answer this, Kay, because this is just something that me and Dave have talked about on the podcast before, Kay. I see these pictures of you from that you've been posting lately of you know, back when you first started, and you've gotten in such better shape. Your moves are so awesome now. I'm not that we weren't before, but you know what I'm saying. I can see how much you've improved over the last 10 years. So I know it's got to be everybody's dream to get to the big leagues, right?
Oh yeah, I mean,
so So, I was going to say, what happens to Devotion if the big leagues call Manny Lemons?
Devotion ain't going anywhere, man. Honestly, that's the conversation that, you know, I've had with my wife, I've had with my family. It's just, if it does happen, we'll still figure out a way to make it happen, you know what I mean? Like, my goal right now is to get onto a Ring of Honor, Impact, or NWA, because then that way I can still own and operate Devotion under my umbrella, you know, and still have a lighter schedule where I can operate that. So that's kind of a plan. But I mean, if the Fed called, I would be a damn right. I would. I'd be on the next train to Florida tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Training center, here we come.
we created such a great community and a great culture that it's not tied to one individual that's going to make it live on. It's the people in the community that are going to make it live on. You know what I mean? Like, my family's always going to be here. My wife's always going to be here, you know, if she signed for me or not. But, you know what I mean? Like, it's always going to be here. It's not going away anywhere. Like I said, I mean, we're going through a worldwide pandemic, and we're still going to come out tired. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Nothing's going to keep Devotion away.
We'll have part two of our interview with Manny Lemons and Zane O'Mac coming up next. We're going to have Christopher Evans. It's Chris on the Mat. It's next on Turnbuckle Trash.
It's Chris on the Mat.
I'm lost of words.
The original trash head, Chris Evans.
If a guy didn't get cracked open, he wasn't really wrestling.
Chris
on the mat.
You can make people sit their butts in those seats. Your box office.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
And we'll have that coming up after we talk to one of our favorites. It's James Christopher Evans. We like to call this segment a little bit of Chris on the Mat. How you doing, my friend?
Well, as always, my intro is, it's a beautiful day here in Winston-Salem. The wind is blowing. The sun is shining. My leg looks like it's been to a chainsaw factory. But other than that, it's a great day, and let's talk about some professional wrestling right now.
Well, before we do that, we got to find out about that leg. You had an accident, and you've really, Tell us what happened and what is the prognosis with your leg, because I know we have people wanting to know about that.
Well, let's just say this. I have a friend, and him and his wife were outside Saturday, about 2 weeks ago. They're not able to go to the gym like everyone else is, so they decided, let's have our own home gym. So being an idiot like I am, they decided they were going to run down the driveway and run back. How stupidity has followed me. Now, I have steel-toe boots on, and I haven't run in so long. I don't run unless someone's behind me or, you know, trying to catch me.
Uh-huh.
So what happened was I took off running, and my right knee popped. And when it did, I slid like a St. Louis Cardinal baseball player to third base. First, my knee went down, my face went down, and then my elbow went down.
Oof.
So now I have a cracked kneecap, a torn ACL, and I look like someone has taken a baseball bat to my leg. And you can, if you want a roadmap, ladies and gentlemen, give me a call. I will gladly take a picture. Maybe Utah has the same veins like I do in the same streets.
Wow.
You can't tell the difference. So I'm doing fine. I'm doing better than some of the WWE superstars are.
Oh, aren't that?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you. Let's talk a little bit about this situation. I still don't know what's going on with Vince, the WWE, and all these people that have been released. But I want to focus on one thing first before we talk about some of the others.
Okay.
Let's talk about what is going on with Roman Reigns basically being erased from some of the promos and some of the highlights. He's not mentioned at all on SmackDown. Is this retaliation from Vince McMahon for him not coming to WrestleMania?
It's the only reason. It's only the reason I can come up with. Who did Roman piss off so badly that they have cut him? They cut his scene out of the last WrestleMania.
Uh-huh.
They cut the scenes off where, what was it?
When Seth Rollins cashed in money in the bank? Yeah, you couldn't see Roman in there.
He was gone. You couldn't see him. So that means he's become John Cena, the second version of him.
Oh, man.
But the thing of it is you need to tell me, Vince McMahon, that for a person that has leukemia and is worried about his life, and with this corona that's going around, and he wants to choose life over an empty arena match. So what you're saying to the fans and saying to him that your life is worth less, but my back pocket is worth more. Vince, you have gone overboard.
I'm going to interrupt our Chris on the Mat segment right now, right in here, because there was a development that came out on TMZ with Roman Reigns talking about why he missed the WrestleMania and why he is not back at the WWE right now. From TMZ, here's Roman Reigns talking about the situation that he's in right now with the World Wrestling Entertainment.
I'm doing good, yeah. And a lot of people, they think that it was based off of my health and my you know, the history of my fight against leukemia. But, you know, just talking to my doctors and stuff, I actually, you know, am fine. And my immune system is good. My children, you know, we just had two newborn twin boys. They're 8 weeks old. So I had to make a decision for them. This is bigger than me. It's my family. It's my children. They are my legacy. No matter what I do in this world, my children are going to be the ones that represent my name and carry our name forward. So I had to make that choice for them to protect them being so young. But
if that is the truth, I mean, honestly, if it comes out that Vince just got ticked off at Roman because he didn't come to WrestleMania, I have my opinion of Vincent Kennedy McMahon has plummeted, gone down the toilet, as they say, because we're talking life here. Now, I'm going to ask you, now this is just a theory. It is nothing but a theory. I don't have anything to back this up. Could this be a work to get marks like you and I to be talking about Roman Reigns and the bad treatment by Vincent Kennedy McMahon in Titan Sports, and then have Roman Reigns show up either at Money in the Bank or the next pay-per-view to get his revenge? Is that a possibility?
I wouldn't put it past Vince McMahon. I wouldn't put it past. They are begging. They're trying to get their storylines back up and running. So what's the best thing to do? Let's take the hero and make him act like we don't like him anymore. And the fans are now up in arms, but is it really helping the WWE? I mean, isn't ESPN fixing to buy the WWE?
Well, there have been rumors about the ESPN and possibly Fox purchasing the WWE. We talked about this several months ago, right? I think it was in October. There was that rumor going around. And then when Black Wednesday hit, there was also the rumor that reignited that Titan Sports was in negotiations with Disney. That is ESPN. And can you imagine Disney running the WWE? Oh, Mickey Mouse ears instead of tights. Oh, well, anyway, that's a possibility.
Gosh, yeah. I can see Goofy coming down right there. One, two, three.
No, Goofy would be Paul Heyman.
Oh, that would be perfect.
Oh, that was bad.
Well, you know,
I am
Goofy
the advocate
does
for Paul.
Well, you know, well, Goofy does look like Vince Russo, so I'm sorry. Oh, hey, I can bring that man up there.
But you know that's something that you know has been rumored for a while. I am still not so sure when we're talking about it, that it's not more of here we go, maybe giving the pay-per-views to these people, you know, maybe selling WrestleMania to ESPN and Disney, maybe selling SummerSlam to Fox. I don't know. You know, I'm just speculating, and I'm not going to give any credence to what I'm saying except for, you know, when we're talking about Disneyland, that's about it. But that is the rumor that's going on right now.
Well, I see everything on the internet, and you can take the internet with a grain of salt.
Bonjour, yes.
Uh-huh. But the thing of it is that now, but we're seeing how desperate the WWE is getting the lowest ratings for Raw, SmackDown, the Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman scene is not good. Nobody really wants to see this match, and they've got to stir controversy up somehow. I mean, they've got to. If not, the WWE is going to fall down. And so, it was good while it lasted. I mean, it was a good run while it lasted, Vince. But you have lost your ever-loving mind. It's time to retire. Go away.
You know
how
what?
Can I miss you? How can I miss you if you don't go away?
Yeah, I'm starting to think that very thing too. Now, Vince, a couple of weeks ago, reportedly said that maybe he doesn't know what wrestling fans want anymore. And I'm going to go to 1AA, Arn Anderson, mm-hmm. who now works for All Elite Wrestling, as we mm-hmm. all know. And he's doing a podcast himself. And he said on a podcast that Vince McMahon himself told Arn to bury a tag team that had been so dominant in NXT, mm-hmm. but to bury them when they came to Raw. And that was the Ascension. And boy, did they bury that very good tag team.
You know, they buried him so far into the dirt, no one has ever seen them again.
Wow. Is that happening again with Ricochet and Rick Swan? Because they lost on Monday night. They come in as this tag team. They've got all this hype. They came into the main roster with all this hype. Ricochet had a couple of good runs. Now he's a tag team, and they get beat on Monday night, and there's no rhyme nor reason to their storyline right now. Are they just burying Ricochet and Rick Swan again?
Yeah, basically. I mean, everyone is getting buried, from Roman Reigns to Ricochet. Who was the worst one to ever get buried that came to the main roster? And I will tell you right off the bat, that was Rusev. Remember, he was this big thing, and then all of a sudden, all the way down.
Yeah, and then when he caught fire again with Rusev Day, and then they buried him after Rusev Day, a good run there, and now he's no longer working there. I will give you another example of a guy that came in with all kinds of hype, and then, you know, take the shovel out and bury him about 30 feet deep. Was Ethan Carter III, EC3. And boy, they buried him so big. And what a great performer. I am such an EC3 fan. And now he's kind of changed up his look. There's talk about some of the other wrestlers getting together to get into some company, whichever one they might sign with. And they would become a faction with Ethan Carter III as kind of the head of that. I hope it happens. I would love to see them in NWA, All Elite, Ring of Honor, Major League Wrestling. I don't care if they come to Devotion. I just want to see these guys wrestle again.
Well, there is one WWE superstar, and it's kind of controversial right now. He asked AEW to come to them, and Cody Rhodes said no. Heath Slater.
Right.
Told Heath, no, I don't want you here. Go away. I feel bad for Heath. I really do. But
yeah, he's got kids.
Like what Brock Lesnar said to him, I don't give a about your kids. Mm-hmm. But I do care about that. I mean, he's got to have a future. Maybe he could be a used car salesman.
He's got too much talent for that. He'll wind up someplace. He'll still do, you know, maybe some independent shows until maybe he'll sign with Ring of Honor. That'd be a good fit. He'd be a great fit for the NWA. Great fit for the NWA.
If he goes to the NWA, I'll make you a bet they put him under a mask.
Well, why not?
They'll put him under a mask.
I would love it.
Yeah, put him under a mask. Have him win. Maybe let him have his undefeated streak. Get the television championship, and then he pulls off the mask, and it's him.
Uh-huh.
It's Heath. And that would help. That would turn heads right there. And he could just hold the belt up and say, I told you, Vince. So that would be a storyline right there. But right now, Vince McMahon is probably drinking every bottle of whiskey that he has in his house and running around with no clothes on, trying to figure out what to do with his company that is falling so fast. So I don't know what else to say or do with the WWE.
You know, it's a lot of this is our perception, I guess, you know, and And I came across, and I thought about this the other day for a completely different reason, but perception is reality in a lot of people's minds. Now, we have seen that with the pandemic that's going on. Now, it is a reality because, you know, I'm not going to get into the reasons behind it because there are some very serious concerns, but there's also some concerns that just make me want to scratch my head. But that perception that someone has, whether it's a company, whether it's you know, a religious belief, or whether it is conservative or liberal, whatever, perception is reality. And then when you talk about perception, you start thinking about the extremes defining the middle. And hear me out here, Chris, okay? The extremes right now are WWE is in extreme financial difficulties because of the pandemic and the folding of the XFL. That is the storyline right now with the WWE. The extreme is now the reality. So I'm wondering if that is hurting more than what we know.
Well, I mean, it's got to be. I mean, Vince put all his money, all the stocks and shares of the WWE into the XFL.
And personal, now, personal.
Personal.
His personal. Okay, you got to say
his
that.
I'm so sorry. His personal stocks, money into the XFL. And now it folds, and not with even a year. They want, how many games did they play?
Well,
not
you got to, you got
2 months.
You got to go back to right in the middle of that, this when this pandemic hit.
Yes.
And I mean, everybody is hurting. And I think Vince just took it right in the gabonza beans. I mean, he took a low blow on that one, you know, and I'm wondering if that has really clouded his view of the WWE right now. And you got that panic mode setting in. I hope not, but boy, that perception is there with me.
Okay, let me ask you this, and we'll get off the pandemic, but when Triple H was in the middle of the ring at SmackDown, they were having his 25 years in the business, and then Vince comes out. That wasn't Vince McMahon. Didn't sound like Vince. Didn't act like Vince. He acted like he didn't even want to be there. Now, I know he's 70, 72, 73. And Father Time has not been kind to him. But it just didn't make any sense. I mean, you come out there and I know your voice is straining, son, but Jesus. You know, a little, you know, you gargle a little bit, you'll be okay. Did you like it?
Well, I'm gonna go back to perception again, okay, Chris?
There you go. There you go.
We're used to having Vincent Kennedy McMahon, Mr. McMahon. Character come out. So what you saw on the Triple H 25th might have been more Vincent Kennedy McMahon, the man, and not necessarily the character. That's the perception I had on that situation. So
I will look at it that way. Yes, sir. That's good. But it was okay at first, and then I just turned it off. I thought, I can't watch this.
Well,
I just can't.
I'm getting that way about Monday Night Raw. Now, it's not just about, you know, not having a crowd there.
Yep.
But, man, I struggle trying to watch Raw right now. It's 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And if I don't, if I don't sit there and watch all of it, I usually just delete it. I did watch all Elite last night, which was a pretty good show. They had more of the office personnel and more of the wrestlers out there. So they had some audience response there. But I'll tell you this. I don't know if you saw All Elite last night or seen it the last couple of weeks. I missed Chris Jericho on commentating.
I didn't get to see. I've heard about that it was just perfectly done. But I didn't get to hear it. But a lot of people were saying that that was a masterpiece of commentary that he did.
Well, it was so funny at times.
Yeah,
it was funny. I love the way Chris Jericho, when he was on commentary, and here comes Cody Rhodes or Dustin Rhodes out, and they're doing their match. And he would say, I hate those guys, but boy, they're good.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And then they did the bubbly bunch with the Inner Circle. And my wife even was enjoying it. And then last night, and it's nothing against Tony Schiavone and Jim Ross and I never can remember the masked man's name.
Oh, well, I can't remember him either.
Oh, man, I am so embarrassed. And they were fine. They did a usually very credible job. Some of it was extremely good. But I found myself really missing hearing Chris Jericho throughout the entire broadcast. And I looked at my wife and I said, I miss Jericho. And this was right in the middle of his street fight tag team match that he had. Mm-hmm. I miss him on commentary. She says, I do too. That's how good it was. I mean,
well,
he made those non crowded matches into something enjoyable. Yeah, they were really enjoyable.
Well, I mean, maybe he's got another career after he retires.
Oh, yeah.
Commentary for AEW. And I mean, some of the people, I mean, even Jim Ross is saying that AEW is on his podcast. Said, well, AEW is not doing very well right now because of this pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
They're losing a lot of ratings, but
everybody is.
Yes. Why? That's what I wanted to ask Jim. Why does it matter about the ratings now? Because this is going on. You have no control over it. So why get worried about ratings?
The reason he's worried about ratings is because someone like TNT, which is owned by Time Warner now, they have to sell advertising. They have to have ratings to sell advertising, to have that program on the air. That's why Jim, I've been reading his first book, My Life in Wrestling, and then I have Under the Black Hat. I'll be reading soon. His background, you know, he in advertising, he's done all kinds of radio. He's done TV. He's done the behind-the-scenes stuff. So he's worried about that behind-the-scenes. And I'm saying, I don't know how much they need to worry about that at this time. When the crowd comes back, give it about 2 months and see how they do at that point. That's when I would start being concerned about the crowds and the ratings. After the crowds get to come back, how are they going to do then?
I think that they'll do just fine once this pandemic is done with. I'll make you a bet that everybody will start coming back to the stadiums, to the shows, and they're going to start making money again. But for right now, everybody is it's either they're buying toilet paper, they're buying gloves, or they're buying masks. And to be honest with you, I'm getting tired of the masks. But you know, that's what they have to do, so be it. But with the WWE and AEW and I have not even watched an episode of the NWA for a while now. I just can't get into wrestling like I used to because I love to hear that crowd. And when you can't hear that crowd, it's just – and then you start hearing them in the ring talking. Okay, throw me to the ropes. Okay, that's enough. Click.
You've got to listen to our interview with Manny Lemons. Now, I'm not sure if during the first part of this podcast he talked about that, or it's going to be in the second part of the interview. Gotcha. But we talk about Manny Lemons, and he talks about how hard it is to perform without that crowd behind you or booing you or getting into it and chanting. He says it's very, very difficult, and Manny talks about that very thing in just a fascinating interview. And we'll have our second part of that interview coming up a little bit with the owner of DCW. But that's going to segue me into something that I wanted to give a little plug to. And because you're such a fan, Tombstone Jesus.
Tombstone Jesus. Oh, yes.
Oh, we got to love the Tombstoner, don't we?
Got to love that Tombstone.
Well,
Tombstone
got a little nationwide publicity because he was on a podcast, a video podcast, that you'll need to look up to look at it because the subject matter is one you'll like too. It's called Wrestling with the Future Podcast, and Tombstone Jesus was on the panel while they were talking to none other than Terry Allen, Magnum TA.
Oh, a legend.
A legend.
Oh, such a legend.
Yeah, and
such
his career legend. Was cut so short because
cut,
of that.
Cut
that,
so short.
Yeah, because of that traffic accident. So, but Tombstone Jesus is on there, and over his over his shoulder, he has his core championship from DCW. So not only do we get that nationwide publicity for DCW from the Vince Russo, Jim Cornette debacle, which I won't get into now, but I heard a lot more about that off the podcast that we did with Manny Lemons and what happened there. And I'll just say this. The gentleman who wrote Jim Cornette, get a life. Because obviously you don't have one. So get a life, my friend. But anyway, now we're getting that publicity with that and also the publicity that goes with Tombstone Jesus on this Wrestling with the Future podcast with Terry Allen. Nice. This company is doing very well.
Well, that's good because I'm glad the DCW is doing well because I love all the wrestlers that are there. My favorite one is Tombstone Jesus, but my second favorite one is the Duct Tape Master, Andrew Sowell.
I love Andrew. Yeah,
Andrew, if you're listening to the podcast, I love that championship belt, but I'm telling you, if you use Gorilla duct tape, you know, Gorilla Glue duct tape, no one will take it away from you.
That's right. And then, you got the Brother Smith, and you've got the pineapple clad Tom Chad. And then in the second part of your interview with Manny Lemons, that's going to be coming up in just a little bit, we're going to discuss his relationship with Rocky Mountain Pro. Rocky Mountain Pro is where he met Vince Russo. And I know, with you and Vince Russo. But he talks about the other wrestlers and his relationship with those guys there. And it's a very, very interesting interview. So before we let you go, Chris, I wanted to ask you if there's anything else you wanted to discuss today.
I've seen a lot of podcasts, well, listened to a lot of podcasts about the epidemic and everything. And I will go on a good note about Mr. Russo. You've changed your life. Congratulations. And you're trying to do good for DCW. I hope that you're able to make them a great, big organization. Personally, if I was to meet you, I would shake your hand and say congratulations. I hope you do well and be the bigger man. But you know what? I would love to read his book, and I want to hear his side of the story of everything else that happened.
Well, I tell you what, I just finished that book, and I can send it to you if you'd like it.
Sure, I'd love to.
Yeah, it's called Forgiveness. It's called Forgiveness. Or you can go onto Vince Russo's website and buy it. He'll even autograph a copy for you. And we are still working on trying to get everything together to get Mr. Russo to join us on this very podcast. But just to give a little plug to the book, and I'm not getting paid a bit for this.
Yeah.
Because I said it to Manny, and I'll say it to Vince Russo face-to-face, I wasn't a big fan of his, and I still don't like every decision he made when he was booking. But then again, not everything that every idea you come up with is gold.
No.
You know, I work in the entertainment industry, the low end of the entertainment industry. I think sometimes I come up with these great, clever ideas that are junk. And I'll tell you that right now. I mean, and I think Vince has found that out. And that's the interesting part about his book and seeing how his relationship has changed, not only with himself, but his wife, his kids, and his relationship with the wrestling business. So we'll give him the plug there. It was very, very interesting.
Well, speaking of controversy, we got one more that I don't know if y'all brought it up or not. How about the controversy with Jerry the King Lawler's comments? Was it absolutely ridiculous for you as well? I mean, here we go again. Yeah.
Go ahead. I am going to say one thing, and I'm hopeful that no one will ever take this as a slap in the face except for my opinion.
Go for it.
I wish people would lighten up and enjoy their lives, and understand that sometimes a joke is a joke. It's not meant to be racist. It's not to be anything but a joke.
It's a joke.
And I've got this bad feeling going on that there are only certain, and I'm going to get into the people that you can get away with making insulting jokes about. But there's only certain groups of people that you can do that with anymore. Because everyone is so sensitive, thinking that it's prejudiced. And I would never, and you know me, Chris, you've known me all your life.
Of course.
Have I ever intentionally tried to hurt somebody's feelings that you know of?
Of all the years and all the time that I've known you, no.
And I've
never seen it, never heard it.
And I hope I never would do that intentionally. Unintentionally, I'm sure I have. And I'm hoping that a lot of this stuff that people take as being offensive is not offensive to the person who said it. I can understand if someone takes what I say as being offensive. But what was my intent? And what was the intent of my heart? And that's why I say we all need to lighten up. And if someone says something that is a little stereotypical, life is full of stereotypes.
Oh, big time.
Every day you see stereotypes. Even people who say that they, you know, they don't look at people with stereotypes in their minds. Bull. B-U-L-L. And then add another four-letter word on the end of that. Everybody looks at everybody with stereotypes in mind.
Of course.
Is that wrong? If you use it the wrong way, yes. But if you meant it
as a joke.
Yeah, that's right.
But they can't take it that way. I mean, PC era crap is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But Jerry the King Lawler had said something about it. I'm not going to quote it because it was kind of dumb. But
I thought it was a dumb joke. I didn't like the joke. I just didn't think it's funny.
It was a dumb joke, and he's a heel commentator, and you know him throughout the years as him being a heel. His mouth overruns himself.
Oh, yeah.
So here it is. So now, is he going to be punished? Is he going to be taken off the air?
He's already off.
He's already off. I didn't know.
Well, now he's still part of doing the Raw commentary team, but he's not on the play-by-play team. This past week, Samoa Joe came back as part of the commentary team. And
that's another one that's been disappointing me. That man can't stay. He cannot stay uninjured.
Yeah, I know. And he does a good job on the commentary. And I think I like that. I like him on commentary probably a little bit better than Jerry at this time. And Jerry's role is still there. He was still there this past Monday or the Monday before. But, you know, I think a lot of it had to do with the not-so-funny joke that was taken the wrong way. And then you get this very vocal, and I am going to say minority. I'm just going to say this very vocal group that takes anything that somebody says incorrectly and tries to make a mountain out of a molehill. I'm not going to call them a minority because I don't know. I know my feelings, and I don't know what their feelings are. And if they were offended, I don't. I don't know Jerry. I have met Jerry, but I just don't think that there's a lot of people out there that will say something that they mean as a joke to be cruel. I just don't think that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, that's basically all I have for today. I think we had a wonderful podcast. Wish I was on with y'all with Manny. I would have loved to talk to him, but that's how life goes. I've been so freaking busy, and y'all guys are closer than I am. But I have a blast all the time that I'm on here. And another person that does listen to the podcast, Randall Bowie, asked how I love doing this. And like I told him, the day I talked to him, I said, I love every minute of it because it's so much fun and it's a passion to do. And that's what we love to do. We love to give our opinions, and we can part as friends, and we have no problems with anybody that someone said something. We don't have a problem with it.
I have no problem with somebody disagreeing with me, and I hope that they don't have a problem with that. So, and that's what life is all about, because we all have, the biggest word that I love to say is we all have different perspectives on our lives. We've all been raised maybe differently, maybe inside a religious household or maybe not a religious household. But being in a religious household does not mean that you're conservative. It does not mean that you're liberal. It's your perspective on life that brings about what you believe and how you've been raised. So
that is true.
I just hope that people will lighten up a little bit about jokes just lighten up with life. I mean, life is too daggum short to just be out there and be angry all the time. I don't like being around people that are angry all the time. I really don't.
Well, but no, that's basically it for me for today. I really appreciate being on the podcast. Thank you all very much. And we shall do this again down the road one more time.
Thank you, Chris. And up next, part two of the interview on Turnbuckle Trash with Zane O'Mac and Manny Lemons, the Devotion Championship Wrestling champion, owner, and all-around great guy. It's next on Turnbuckle Trash.
This is Devotion Championship Wrestling.
Devotion. According to the Webster Dictionary, devotion is the act of dedicating something to a cause, something to an enterprise, something to an activity. The fact or state of being dedicated. This is Devotion.
Devotion Championship. Wrestling.
That's awesome. So, man, you just keep firing them off and leading me. You got me thinking. You've got me intrigued. And you mentioned your wife, and how freaking awesome is it that she is in the ring and training with you? And I mean, I just can't even fathom how freaking cool that is.
I mean, it's one of those things, man. Like I said, when the very first Devotion show, when I went to, you know, when I was going to do it, I basically told her, look, I'm going to do this. I really, my family, my grandmother, my dad, my mom, they all really wanted to see me wrestle, you know. And I was traveling so much with Championship Wrestling Hollywood, Championship Wrestling Arizona, UW, all those other feds that, like, I didn't work in the state of Utah after I left the other company for about 2 to 3 years, you know what I mean? My family was really eagering me to, you know, to do a show here so they can see me. That's when I was like, hey, I'll do a show, we'll try it out, and blah, blah, blah. Little behold, man, that the community of Utah is really waiting for something else, a value product to come in and really take off and take the wheels of this thing, you know. After our first show, it was just like, oh, it's going to be a lot bigger than it is. We got to go all in. There's no way we can kind of half-ass this, you know. Mm-hmm. Then we ran our second show, Aftermath. That was when we had Stefan Fatsu out here for the first time. I think we drew over 350 people, and you're just like, man, there's no, like, this. The state of Utah has been dying for a real legitimate Utah wrestling set, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then it's not just having, you know, people who are trained here in wrestling. It's bringing the stars to Utah. It's bringing the names to Utah. It's bringing the talent to Utah. Utah was eager for that because it was a community. It was not served before, you know, and now it's an opportunity with Devotion to serve it, you know? And it's, you know, having Rekka, Rekka's like, all right, if you're going to do this, I'm going to become a wrestler. So I had no desire of running a wrestling school, never wanted to run a wrestling school, just wanted to do shows, you know? After the first two shows, I was like, all right, shows are good. And then a lot of people started inquiring, what about training? What about training? What about training? And then Rekka hit the hammer with the nail, and she's like, all right, if you're going to do this, you're going to train me. Little behold, the Devotion Professional Wrestling Academy has grown and is now an official thing.
That's awesome. Wow. And she has improved so much with her ring work in such a short time. And even Vince Russo mentioned that in that podcast that we played in our last episode. Her light is burning pretty bright right now, don't you think?
Oh yeah, man. That's what I think Russo mentioned. You know, the toughest woman he's ever had the pleasure to work with, and that's speaking volumes because, you know, Russo's worked with probably every big name on the wrestler that's ever walked through the Europe. Yeah. You know, that's a compliment itself. And that just tells you, though. That tells you, you know, something's going on in old Salt Lake City, Utah, where, like, we're creating the stars of tomorrow, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just, it's just going to take that time and that effort to get the name and get everyone to know. And, you know, we've done a dang good job in the last year and a half, you know. We did a good job. Doesn't mean we stopped. We do a good job. We just keep going forward and keep building off that.
One of the things that I've enjoyed is your relationship with Rocky Mountain Pro, bringing in people like Marlon Bishop, Bruce Waynes, and all the other professionals that have been there. These guys have really played well with the local talent in Salt Lake City, and they've got a great thing going in Colorado. Why was that relationship like to be able to share talent like that?
Oh, man, I consider Rocky Mountain Pro to be my sister company. And that, like I said, I mean, when I was gone, you know, from Utah Wrestling, that was one of the feds that I was always a regular out there. I was always on TV out there. You know, that's where I met Vince Russo, was out at Rocky Mountain Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the you trust. Like I said, the whole thing, real recognizes real. And you know, Matt Yaden owns the company out there, and he's a real individual. He's a real guy. He's helped me a lot throughout my wrestling journey and given me opportunities that I'm so grateful for. And the fact that we can really create and build this Rocky Mountain region to where, you know, like, he's going to use my talent, I'm going to use his talent. That's what it's all about, getting your people exposure. You got to bring talent in that are better than the talent you have to get your talent better. Mm-hmm. Rocky Mountain Pro is one of the top wrestling schools in the entire country, you know. So I'm going to, you know, anytime any of their guys want to come out, we're definitely going to use them because we want to use the best in the world.
Wow. So my question for you is, another question is, two questions. So how have you decided, or maybe it just fell into place? DCW, I have enjoyed so much because, I can bring my 7-year-old with me, and I don't have to worry about people. Not that I personally am not offended by it, but, you know, when you have kids in the audience, I don't have to worry about anything controversial. I don't have to worry about anybody using foul language in front of, you know, my kid. I don't have to worry about things like that. Was that intended, or is that just something that your guys have kind of done on their own?
It's a little bit of both. You know, I mean, we're a family-friendly show, you know. We're not going to you gotta be available to the whole family, because you gotta think, man, there's so many. Utah's a big family state, so to sit there and have, you know, 18 and older shows, I mean, what's that gonna do? What's that gonna do for the community of wrestling? Absolutely nothing. You know what I mean? There's a time and place for that. You know, we're big on the whole, you know, family unite. So yeah, bring your kids, bring your family. You know, come enjoy some fun. You know, we're gonna respect the boundaries. And plus, being on TV, you know, we can't go out there and drop F-bombs and do all that stuff, you know, because we're censored now, you know. So it's a little bit of both. It's the culture that, you know, that I've been brought up with, and the culture that, you know, a lot of these guys just know and love. They're just good individuals, and I love every single one I work with, you know.
Well, I'm gonna pat ourselves on the back here, Zane, because we were one of the first podcasts in the state of Utah to really start pushing some local talent, and I'm going to, you know, pat ourselves on the back just a little bit. But there's other podcasts that are out there right now that are starting to feature your talent, and I love that. And then DCW also has their own podcast. Tell us about that, Manny.
You know, the DCW podcast kind of came up when I was working over at the other company. MK actually pitched the whole, let's do a weekly podcast, you know, let's get our talent. Because the problem is, if you want to get to the big leagues, you got to know how to talk, you got to know how to interview, you got to do all that stuff. And podcasting is the best way to do that, because, you know, you're asking the questions and how you respond to the questions and all that whole, you know, all that gaga. But I mean, with the pandemic, it was just the time to do it. You know, we're not really producing shows. So what else can we do to help out with our audience? Okay, so we have TV. Let's do a podcast. Let's start getting our guys. Let's let our fans know exactly who, you know, Wreck It Talk is, or who Tom Chat is, or who Andrew Solo is. Let them know the real individuals and the characters themselves, and let them get out there. Because, like you said, there's a lot of podcasts, you know, that are starting to bloom up in Utah, but it doesn't necessarily mean that every single person is going to be on that podcast.
That's true.
So this gives the opportunity for, you know, people who are not, you know, are still, you know, young in the business, and to get their name out there and get their voice heard, you know.
Well, I'm excited for you. I was going to also ask about your TV deal with CW30 in Salt Lake City. You started your TV show and then, bam, no more live show. That had to be kind of tough to take. You had enough for, what, 8 weeks? And then now you're having to kind of go back into your archives a little bit?
Yeah, man, that was the big kick in the groin right there.
Right in your lemons, huh, Manny?
Yeah. Man, you have so much heat. Like, I mean, not so much heat, so much momentum, you know, going into that, you know, March 7th. And, you know, we're going to carry it on. You know, we've lost 2 months of what could have been, you know. Now we got to kind of restructure and rebuild and find this whole new normal. But, man, you got to see, like, getting landing a TV deal is something that's never been done in Utah wrestling history. The only live events that ever been here, the televised live events have been from WWE, WCW, and Impact Wrestling. Oh, and then AEW and March. But those are other than that, there's never been an actual wrestling company here in Utah to land a television deal. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of huge, you know. It's a big deal. You know, people are watching BCW, and that's the most exciting thing about it. You know, we have average household, you know, averaging a household, you know, 4,000 to 5,000 people per, you know, 4,000 to 5,000 people households are watching BCW.
Wow.
So how many people are in each household, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, 5, 6, 7 people sometimes, you know? And so you're telling me over 10,000 Utahns are watching Devotion Championship Wrestling every Sunday morning at 11 a.m.? That's our target audience. That's, you know, what happens when we can finally get out there and do live shows? How big is this really going to be? And I think that's a big motivator and a big help for us, you know?
And I think I need to give a shout out to my friend Trent Hunsaker, who is a one-man show with that, and he has done a fabulous job with all your graphics and everything, and the video of it. Trent, my hat's off to you, my man. He does a great job for you.
Man, Trent is a special, he's a treasure, man. That guy can work, knows exactly what he's doing. And the fact that, you know, now he's getting rewarded that his product is on television every week, you know, that's such a good feeling for me, because at first he kind of came and was like, yeah, I just kind of want to help you guys out where you can, you know. And then now, you know, he's stuck with me since day one. I'm loyal to him. He's loyal to me. And now we're making television every single week, you know, with one of the biggest names in the entire wrestling industry. That speaks volumes, you know. So I could not thank Trent enough. You know, that guy is a good brother to me, and I love him with all my heart.
He's a great guy.
That's cool. So one question I have for you, which I've always thought was really cool and really nice of you, is you know, it's Dave and I, Dave's a good solid almost 2 hours from Salt Lake from the north, and I'm almost 2 hours from Salt Lake to the south. So it's a little bit of a journey sometimes for us to get up to Salt Lake. But yet, when there's a live show, I get a private message from the owner of the company, literally, that says, hey, I've got two tickets sitting here waiting for you. Are you coming up? You know, I guess my question is, how come you're so awesome to us?
And it's just about building a community, man. You guys have been awesome, you know. I've had the pleasure of being on your podcast. I think, what was it? The first time I did it, I think, was April 2019, yeah. Something yeah. like that, I want to say. But I mean, it's like it's the whole thing. It's like guys like you guys are gonna be the good brothers coming to the shows, and you know, you're interviewing the talent. Like, I want you guys to be a part of this. This movement is blowing up, and I want everyone to be a part of it. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So it's like I said, it goes back to you guys being good people and good brothers, and love to have you at the shows because you guys get to witness everything that's going on and witness this movement in Salt Lake City.
And I even got to be the ringside announcer for one of those shows. That was pretty cool. I really enjoyed that. That was cool.
Yeah, see, and you never know what's going to happen.
That was awesome.
But I mean, like I said, it just goes back to the whole building that community. You could sit there and you could be bitter and just expect people to come around, or you could be genuine and nice, and you know, people are going to love you for you and love your product. You know, that's the difference.
That's awesome.
So it's more of a comment than a question, and you can respond to this. So we talk, you know, I don't know. Dave, what do you think? I would dare say we probably give maybe it might even be half, at least half, a large portion of our time on our show, because I've always been prideful or proud of us not just being a WWE podcast, not just being a TNA podcast. We've tried to cover all kinds of wrestling, from the independents, from small independents to medium-sized companies. We featured, everybody on the podcast. We talk about everybody on the podcast, and I just wanted to know what your thoughts were on some of the smaller companies out there. Do you see them as like competition, or do you see them as just another place trying to make ends meet?
I think it's just another, it's kind of a double-edged sword there. I mean, I like to know what's going on, at other places, just because, it's like Kmart and Walmart, Walmart wants to know what's going on with Kmart, or Kmart wants to know what's going on with Walmart, But I mean, do I see them as a competition or a threat? No, I don't see anyone as a threat, because I know what you see with me is what you get, and you're going to get the best damn professional wrestling in the state of Utah, and the best, the best product you're going to see is at Devotion Championship Wrestling. So, I mean, to sit there and say there's competition, I'm not too worried about it. If anyone else around wants to go play wrestling and go do what they want to do, that's up to them. But BCW is where the big boys play.
That's so awesome. Wow. I'm just absolutely intrigued by this. I don't know why. I just have always enjoyed going to the DCW shows. I've always enjoyed how polite everybody is. And my next comment would be that every time we go to a DCW show, I spend so much time talking about how I'll back up a little bit, and I apologize for kind of rambling. I'm just trying to get my thoughts together here. But Dave gave me two tickets to WWE. They were floor seats. They were second row ringside seats. I mean, they were fantastic. Fantastic seats. I mean, the best seats I've ever had at a professional wrestling event. And I brought my boy, and we had a great time. But the one thing that was lacking in that WWE show was the thing that I always mention and I always talk about is, after the show, you've got the guys that they're changed out of their ring gear. They're sitting at their tables, selling merch, or they're helping put up chairs, or they're stopping to talk to people. And I absolutely love how that is in these smaller shows, to see a guy like Tombstone Jesus making the rounds, talking to people, talking to his fans, and asking like genuine, how are you doing? And did you enjoy the show? I have always loved that about the smaller promotions, especially Devotion, how your talent, is so polite to the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Just what are your thoughts on that comment?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because, that's one of the best things about independent wrestling, is you can connect with the individuals who are performing for you. Obviously WWE being the mega stars, I guess you can't come really shake your hand, kiss babies, do that stuff. But, when you come to a DCW show, one of the biggest things after the show ends, the minute, whether if it's me in the main event or someone else in the main event, the minute I walk through the curtain, we say, go meet the fans. Go tell them thank you for coming, because without the fans, go back to the whole beginning of the podcast, the pandemic, without the fans and without the real life emotions, who are we, We're just acrobats. So.
You've got some great talent there, Manny. I think that for an independent show, your guys work so hard. The Brothers Smith are an entertaining tag team. Tombstone Jesus, who, by the way, was on Magnum TA's podcast this week on YouTube. You want to check that out. You got Tombstone Jesus. You got yourself. You got Rekka. And then behind the scenes, you've got some of your own family taking care of the people as they come in, selling tickets. And I've met several of members of your family. I'm friends with them now, and I really enjoy that family atmosphere that you guys have at DCW.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the best things about it, It's everyone who comes through those doors, it's family. Family in my eyes, you know. You're part of devoted, and you're devoted to me, I'm devoted to you.
Wow.
And now you have product available on Pro Wrestling Tees. I saw that on the TV show Saturday.
I know, man. It's good. I'm glad to see that they approved it. I applied for them for a couple weeks ago. So, you know, got DCW t-shirts and even our new podcast t-shirts on there as well.
Well, that's awesome. How can people listen to your podcast, by the way?
You say how many people?
No. How can they? How can they? Yeah, I'm going to give you a little free pub here. How can they listen to your podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. Just through SoundCloud or Spotify. Just look up Devotion Wrestling. Like, subscribe, follow, you know, and that's how you listen to it. I got my playlist on SoundCloud where I've actually, you know, like listened to every single one that pops up every Thursday morning. It's on my playlist. So every time I go to the gym, I got it in my ears. I'm listening to Tombstone Jesus or Tom Chat or MK was our first podcast guy. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Wow. Well, you know, Manny, I have nothing but wonderful, wonderful things to say about Devotion Championship Wrestling, about you and how kind you are and how excellent of a performer you are. I'm out of words.
And that's not easy to do with him. So
I've been looking forward to this for a long time, and we've been trying to put it together for a long time. And, you know, with all this stuff going on in the world right now, it hasn't been easy for all of our schedules to line up. And so I'm really glad that we got this put together, and it means a lot to myself, to Dave, to Turnbuckle Trash fans, for you to take the time out of your busy schedule with training, with family, with stuff, to come on and spend an hour with us.
Oh man, no, it's likewise. I appreciate you guys, you know, taking the time to have me on there, you know, because I mean, shows like your guys, you know, they're well known, they're well listened to. So, anytime I can get on there, it's definitely an honor and a privilege to be a part of it. You know, and I'm more than happy to come and talk your guys' ear off anytime you guys will have me back.
Well, you're welcome anytime. You got an open invitation, man.
Open invitation.
Anything else you'd like to add to Manny, Dave?
I was just going to say, when Manny, when you get those plans ready for your next live show, please let us know so we can talk about it for you, okay?
Oh, man, you already know. I'm the second I know, Facebook is going to be bamboozled with flyers and all sorts of promotional material, you know. I think we're all dying for it. I think wrestling, you know, wrestling fans, I mean, you know, of course, you guys are dying for a live wrestling show to happen. It's been two months. Let's get past this. Let's get moving forward, Utah. Let's move towards the new normal and make things happen again.
Awesome. Once again, we've been talking to Manny Lemons, Manny Smith, the owner, the proprietor, the trainer, the champion, the man with the plan, the king of the lemonade stand. He has a zest for life, and I think more importantly, he has a zest for professional wrestling. Manny, thanks so much, and thanks for joining us on Turnbuckle Trash Man.
All right, thanks for having me.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair,
woo!
The part of the part that you were the part of.
Hey, I'm ready.
I slid like a St. Louis Cardinal baseball player to third base.
You said pandemic.
Bull. B-U-L-L. And then add another four-letter word on the end of that.
I'm probably the most hated guy in all of Utah professional wrestling.
I'm now a star. I'm no longer just a radio star. I am a TV star, too.
I can see Goofy coming down right there. One, two,
Yeah, man, that was a big kick in the groin right there.
I don't give a f*** about your kids.
You're devoted to me, I'm devoted to you.
You gotta love that tombstone. Let's go for it.
I'm out of words.